Many blessings to you all, and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is Luke 9:18-22. The Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 9, verse 18 to 22. Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, "Who do the crowds say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "God's Messiah." Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And he said, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." My theme for reflection is when the road leads through the valley. When the road leads through the valley. If someone handed you a map of your future and quietly pointed to a section marked difficulty ahead, how would you respond? Imagine a doctor telling you that volunteering to help during a crisis would mean exhaustion, criticism, and sleepless nights, but that many lives would quietly be changed because you stayed. Most of us, if we are honest, would pause. We might pray longer, reconsider our schedule, or hope that perhaps someone else might take that route instead. Lent has a way of asking a similar question, not loudly, but gently. If you knew the path of love would sometimes lead through sacrifice, would you still walk it? Dr. Luke tells us that Jesus was praying when he asked his disciples a deceptively simple question, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" The answers come quickly. Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, others one of the prophets returned. The crowds admire Jesus, but their understanding remains incomplete. Then Jesus turns to the disciples and asks the question that eventually confronts every believer, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter responds with clarity, "The Christ of God." Yet the problem is not that Peter's confession is wrong. The problem is that it carries expectations that have not yet been purified. The disciples imagine a Messiah of triumph, authority, and visible victory. They envision restoration without humiliation and glory without suffering. Jesus Christ gently but firmly reshapes their understanding. "The Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, be killed, and on the third day be raised." The small word "must" carry enormous weight. This path is not a tragic accident. It is not history spiraling out of control. It is the mysterious logic of divine love. God's redemption does not remain distant from human pain. It enters into it. Jürgen Moltmann once observed, "The cross of Christ stands between the suffering of the world and the promise of God." In Christ, God does not remain a spectator of human sorrow. He becomes its bearer. The narrative also shows us the surrounding responses. The crowds speculate. The religious leaders will eventually reject. Even the disciples struggle to understand what they hear. Yet none of these reactions derail God's purpose. The rejection becomes the doorway through which salvation enters the world. What appears as defeat becomes the beginning of resurrection. The Apostle Peter later reflects on the meaning of Christ's suffering with these words: Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. 1 Peter 3:18. The cross is not simply the story of suffering, it is the story of reconciliation. For Christian people today, this passage speaks into a culture that often promises personal growth without sacrifice. In many secular and postmodern currents of thought, fulfillment is framed primarily as self-realization, the freedom to define one's own truth, construct one's own meaning, and pursue authenticity without external authority. While these perspectives have rightly challenged certain rigid assumptions of the Enlightenment and have encouraged attention to personal experience and individual dignity, they often resist the deeper transformation that comes through humility, repentance, and surrender to something beyond the self. The gospel, however, points in a different direction. Genuine renewal does not arise from endlessly refining the self, but from entrusting the self to God, whose grace reshapes our lives from the inside out. Jesus Christ offers something far more demanding and far more liberating. Instead of shaping reality according to our desires, he invites us to entrust our lives to the Father, even when the road leads through uncertainty. Lent becomes a season of learning this trust. We examine the quiet ways we prefer comfort to obedience. We discover how easily we reshape Christ into an image that feels less costly. Yet the cross refuses such revisions. It reveals that the deepest power in God's kingdom is not domination, but self-giving love. At the same time, the cross is not the final word. Jesus' sentence ends with a promise: on the third day, be raised. Resurrection reframes everything that precedes it. Sacrifice is not meaningless. Faithfulness is not wasted. Love that suffers is not abandoned. For this season, and for this reason, Lent does not invite us into despair, but into clarity. It reminds us that following Christ involves both the honesty of the cross and the hope of the empty tomb. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, when you confess that Jesus is the Christ, what expectations do you quietly attach to that confession? Comfort, success, protection, or transformation? Number two, where in your life might God be inviting you this Lent to choose faithful love rather than the illusion of spiritual control? And now our practical exercise for the day. Choose one small but meaningful act of self-giving love. It might be reaching out to someone you have avoided, offering help where it will cost you time, or extending forgiveness where resentment has lingered. Before you act, pause and pray, Lord, teach my heart to follow the path of your love. Lord Jesus Christ, you knew the road before you and did not turn away. You walked through rejection, suffering, and death, trusting the Father's purpose, and on the third day you were raised. In this Lenten season, free us from a faith that seeks comfort without transformation. Teach us to recognize you as you truly are, to follow you with courage and to love with the same quiet faithfulness that carried you to the cross. Strengthen us when the road feels uncertain, and anchor us in the hope of resurrection until the day when you make all things new. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all now and forevermore.